Hello and welcome, foolish mortals, to Make It Magical. This is Emily.
And Clayton.
Your ghost hosts.
That is what we are.
Ditto.
We should call ourselves trivia. What's a good word? Trivia nemesis? Trivia masters.
No, why would you say nemesis?
Because we were people's nemesis. They called us that on the cruise ship.
I don't like that title, though.
Well, that's what people were calling us. But we just got back from our trip.
A wonderful trip.
Wonderful trip.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert, because we're talking about it today and probably next week and probably the week after that. So get ready.
Got for a whole lot of trip recap coming at you. An in-depth
trip recap. I mean, that's what happens when you do three jam-packed days at the parks. We did three jam-packed days at the parks.
Surprise, surprise. We did not allude that we'd be doing a third day. We weren't really
We weren't even sure ourselves that we would be doing that.
So this is a twofer. We got Walt Disney World park time and a Disney cruise.
Yeah, we lived it up on the Disney cruise. We have won all of the medals, all of the trivia. We won a large amount of trivias. And you're talking or you're listening to...
Don't give it away. We're going to talk all about it when we get to the cruise stuff. Oh, don't you worry.
Let me just say that Clayton is a super fan, but we'll leave it at that.
Nerd.
Okay, calm down there. When I
wear with pride. I wear with pride that I'm a Disney nerd.
When I say that we won a lot of the trivias, it's mostly M won probably 75% of the trivia, and I was there for moral support and writing down the answers on the sheet.
Only 75%?
I'm sure I knew some of the answers of the trivias that we won. So, hey, I knew the year that one of the movies came out that won us the bonus question.
Very true.
Okay, but enough of this dilly-dallying.
Today might be a wacky episode, by the way. We haven't recorded in a while.
It's Monday. We were going to record. It's Monday the day after we got back.
We've been working for the first time in a week and a half.
Yeah, let's not talk about that pain.
Not fun.
We were going to record yesterday after our flight home, but then having to get up at 2 a.m. East Coast time and then sit on a plane for 7 hours or about 7 hours.
I was tired, so I said, no, I want to be peppy and alive.
Wasn't conducive to recording an episode, so we decided...
It wouldn't be magical. I want to make it magical today, Clayton.
Yeah, it would just be make it. We'd be making it, but it wouldn't be quite magical. So
no magic.
We're doing a cram session. We're going to record here, and then snip, 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 edit, and get this, as you're listening to this, out to you.
That's how it works.
That's how this works.
That's how podcasting works.
That's how podcasting works. So, mousekeeping, though, what's been going on with us?
We got a lot of it, actually.
Outside of, being on vacation. So, actually, right before our vacation...
This is, like, red hot news. We have not even mentioned we were going to do this to anybody.
Un secreto. Yes. We have signed up. Stupidly.
Oh, not stupidly at all. No. I mean, what you're doing, maybe that's stupidly. But
we have signed up for the Walt Disney World Marathon in January
2025.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Emma signed up for the marathon. So Emma is progressing in her running. She did the half marathon. She's doing the challenge in the upcoming Disneyland Halloween half marathon.
Yes. And so now, I'll be doing the 10K jointly with the half marathon.
We'll also be running the 5K.
So we're doing like an extra challenge. That's not even considered a challenge.
Yeah. Em's like, but Chip and Dale Halloween thing.
In trick or treat costumes. We gotta.
So
that's my next leg up. My only goal for this upcoming half marathon at Disneyland, I just want to do it in a little bit faster time. That is it.
Well, since you have to start training for the marathon, it's like a perfect tester. It's right in the middle of training.
Marathon. This will be my first ever full marathon. I'm a bit nervous. Half marathon, I've at least done it before. I know I'm capable even without properly training. But properly train everybody. That's like rule number one. Please don't injure yourselves. Don't listen to me in my previous experiences. Listen to me now and saying you should train properly. That is the safe way to do it. But I know I can do the half marathon. So I'm like, okay, great. I'm feeling good about September. I know I can do it. I did it before. Full marathon on the other half. I'm a little nervous, but I'm excited. I've always had this on my bucket list. I didn't know if I'd fully commit to it. The only way you're going to get me to do a full marathon, though, is in Disney World. You better believe it. It has to be on Disney property. So we committed. We bit the bullet. It's kind of a funny story. When we were signing up for it, is literally the day before we were going out of town for this trip. We had family in town, our niece and nephew, my sister and brother-in-law, my parents sitting at the table while we're like hardcore focused on our iPads. We had a ton of different screens open. Like we're hyper focused. If you ever signed up for any kind of like Run Disney event, Oogie Boogie Bash, what the stakes are, how high pressure it is. It's like an anxiety inducing to the max.
It is anxiety inducing, especially since they make you fill out all the information that you could literally give them a week later.
You're trying to do it as fast as possible.
They make you fill out all that information at sign up time for no particular reason whatsoever.
So that was pretty funny considering we had my niece over there like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Princess show. Like, why isn't the princess show on the TV?
It's like, auntie's a little busy right now. I'll play with you after.
And we got your dad asking questions about it. There's a lot going on, but we signed up. We made it.
We were successful.
Marathon.
Just marathon. Full marathon. I mean, I say just as in that's nothing. This it's idiot, a lot, though.
Dopey challenge. Because, you know, he likes to punish himself. He's getting older. He's probably only has a couple more good years left in him anyways.
What are you talking about? Come on.
Well, the way that my back felt after this flight.
Why don't you elaborate what is included in the Dopey Challenge for those who are not Run Disney fans?
5K, 10K, half marathon, 49.5 miles or whatever it is.
You must be dopey to sign up for it.
That's probably why they do it. So 5K, 10K, half marathon. So you run Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 49 miles over the course of... Hey, a guy just ran across all of Africa. I think I can run 49 miles in a weekend. Guy literally just ran all across Africa.
I'm just saying it's a lot to commit when you also have not done a full marathon before.
Yeah, I'll be fine. Right?
I believe in you. I know you can do it. I can't. There's no way I can't commit to the dopey yet. I just need to get through my first full marathon.
I have a run scheduled tomorrow. It'll be fine. We have checks watch.
I got
several
time.
Months.
I got
it
time.
It should be fine.
So very exciting. I'm excited for us. I believe we can do it. We got our. We're ready. We're
I
amped
a,
up to train. We're
had,
good to go.
I had a bit of a dream I was like, wow, I'm an idiot. and then I.
You dream big. You're like Walt.
Yeah, I dream big. And I'm also in my dream. Man, you're an idiot. Okay.
You just need some guidance from me. I need to curate the perfect running playlist. That's what you need to keep you going. I think.
I don't know. A 4
That's
hours
the way
long
to upgrade
to
this.
I'm going to have to start listening to like Book on Tapes when I run.
I could just put In Summer from Frozen on repeat to keep you going. You know, everyone knows how much you love Olaf.
Yeah, I would.
It'll make you run faster so you get through. You don't have to keep listening to the song. Motivation.
I would lose. That's one way to drive a man to straight up lose his brain.
In summer.
There was a trivia question. Finish this lyric, and it was that in summer. And the cruise entertainment staff was, if you write puddle, I'm going to subtract a point. Who wrote puddle? I didn't write puddle.
Couple hands went
we
up.
We were too busy about winning.
But you got it wrong.
I also got it wrong.
Which I couldn't believe. I was like, "Oh, this is, you should get
of course
this.
I, of course,
this
I got it
is
wrong.
So easy."
I got a lot of things wrong and a lot of things right on this cruise. You better believe it. We'll talk all about it. But
that's not
let's
today.
Move on.
We'll still get the, let's keep on track. Mousekeeping.
We have a new review.
Yeah, so exciting.
5 stars. Title: Full of Heart. Love this podcast. It's one of those that I look forward to each week. Congrats on 100.
That's so sweet.
I love the banter. I love the banter too. History and love for Disney and, in parentheses here, each other. And then this is how, okay, now I've lost my train of thought. You share each week. That's how the review ends. Sorry.
Oh my gosh.
And this is from Janelle.
Janelle, you're the best. Thanks so much.
Yes, thank you so much.
Janelle is a sweetheart. I've talked to her on Instagram. She has a very cute pup of her own that she always posts pics of. But thank you, Janelle. Those are very kind words. We love to hear it.
You should really rename Mousekeeping it to like all listener
over,
shout out.
All over the place keeping.
Because we have some of the best fans here.
Oh, we do. I just ruined it with my joke.
Yeah, and you're over there.
Oh, this is weird. When we swap personas.
Yeah, what just happened here? Emily? What's going on?
Spout some Disney facts for me, Clayton. Or Emily.
Fun fact. I was spouting fun facts all over the cruise ship.
I thought you were me.
Yeah, it's about fun facts.
Okay. Bit over.
Did you know that?
Clayton, stay on track.
All right. You said it's about a Disney fact.
I was saying, pretend you're me, and then you went, oh, yeah, me, Clayton.
Me, Rongo.
Me, Rongo. People don't know.
Fun
I'm not going to explain that. Because you're saying me, Rongo, and pounding your chest.
What even is that from?
You don't know? Are you serious? Enchanted Tiki Room. You know, before you enter, at least in Disneyland,
right,
yeah. We haven't been on Disney Worlds in quite a while.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's
they
right.
have Rongo, like the outside, yeah. The little pre-show area with the different tiki gods. And one of them is named Rongo. He goes, me Rongo, god of whatever. I don't have it memorized.
We have it for like when we're tired and not really thinking well. That's what we say.
That
we
was are. On like the 100 degree plus day.
Yeah.
Super hot. It felt like it was Florida and California, really humid. And we were losing our minds. We got to the point of delirious. We were probably dehydrated, I'm sure.
Well,
drink your water, everybody, when you're in the parks. It will save you.
Our recurring joke was Rancho del Zocalo, which we're like shouting in the parks.
I think we've mentioned that in the park or on the podcast. Parks. But then we went to the Enchanted Tiki Room because that is a great place if you are hot to go sit down and cool off for a bit.
Because someone left the shower running.
Yes, someone did leave the shower running. So wish someone could leave the trowel running on us during that day. I was dying.
Yeah, it was worse.
But we were there for the pre-show, and we heard that, and we found it hilarious for some reason. The rest of the day, when I was feeling crazy, we kept saying, me, Rongo.
Yeah. Now, back to where we were.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about listeners and how great they are.
We do. We have truly the best listeners in the entire world.
So right before we were leaving, we got two packages, one from Bailey.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So the first package or the first part of the gift that she sent was directed, I guess, towards me. And it was, she found a Bermuda Merlin cross stitch pattern. Yeah, and her mom is like really into cross stitch.
He's wearing his special outfit, like the baseball cap and the palm tree shorts.
So her mom cross stitched this pattern and she sent it to us. It's sitting right over there. I'm looking at it. We got to get it framed and figure out where to put it on the wall here.
Oh, it's amazing.
It is amazing. It's truly amazing. And we got another portion of the gift here, which is now up on the top of the...
Oh, you put it up there.
Yeah, I put it up there. It's a Hollywood Tower Hotel from Morocco. Walt Disney World.
From Morocco.
It's from Morocco.
The backside of it's from Morocco.
Well, we're from Epcot, where we spent the whole day in Epcot. When we were
Why
there,
didn't
so.
You spot the fun fact?
If you're in some part of the World Showcase and you look towards Morocco. You would actually be looking at partially of Hollywood Tower Hotel, which is now themed specifically at the very top to look like it fits inside of Morocco. That's what we call sight lines, which is something that the company...
I mentioned this a lot on our trip.
Which something Emily mentioned a lot when we were in World Showcase, but we'll get to
it's
that in a minute.
Attention to detail. They cared so much about just the backside of Tower of Terror lining up with World Showcase. Like, hey, you know what? We'll theme it so it looks like it belongs in Morocco.
And then they put in Guardians of the Galaxy and they just slapped a huge blue building in there. And they're like, sight lines be damned. But
hopefully people won't notice this.
Back to gifts. We have not finished mousekeeping it. And then we got I got another small little gift, but one that meant a lot. So Jared, he's in the Make It Magical Listener Hall of Fame. He's the first patron supporter.
Yeah. Also the first listener that probably ever reached out to me saying they love the show.
And he's been to Club 33. He had a coaster that he saved. Part of his visit, he sent it to us or to M with a very special note.
Oh, yeah.
And means a lot.
It's very sweet. We need to put that baby on display.
Yeah, we're running out of a lot. We don't have any more space on the shelf here. So we're like contemplating what we're going to do with it because the shelf is very full.
Lots of cool stuff.
A lot of cool stuff.
But yeah, we all that to say, we have truly the best listeners in the entire world. Like, tears. These were the kindest things that we got. So unexpected. I mean, you knew about the Jared thing. He tried to keep it secret from me.
Yeah, he hit me up with a DM and said, hey, I want to send Emily something. So I kept it a secret.
Yes, and showed up right before we left as well. So all exciting things right before. We were already excited to go on this trip, but that just filled my heart. And Bailey even left the kindest note too with the gift. So it's just, it means the absolute world.
And, you know, so we're speaking so highly of our listeners. Oh, what? Here's some more transitions to highly important
right before
listeners.
We left too, right before we were leaving for the airport, quite literally.
Do these people know that we were, Emily was like, I got to go upstairs and do something. And we'll go leave. We're like literally like about to get in the car to go leave to go to the airport. We got to drive to SFO. It's going to take about an hour and 15 minutes in traffic. And Emma's like, okay, I'll be right down and we'll go. So she runs up halfway up the stairs. She goes, "Whoa!" And then she ran halfway back down the stairs and said, we got a new Patreon subscriber. And I said, go finish this. We could talk about this in the car. Go do whatever you do so we can get to the airport.
I was just so excited. I had to run back down and tell
She's
you.
She's like, "Woo!" I'm like, why are we talking about this now? Go finish. We can talk about it in the car. We have an hour and 15 minutes in traffic here. We're going
to
have
Both
to talk
my hands,
up.
Like, I mean, like fist pumped into the air. Woo!
Woo! So we have a new Space Ranger. We have Megan. Megan has joined the fold. She's a very important number in the paid Patreon world.
She's also going to the Hall of Fame. I think all of our Patreon members, honestly, are in the Hall of Fame.
Everyone who's in the Patreon, they're all in their they're in a Hall of Fame. But Megan, very specifically, has hit. She is the number 20th paid Patreon supporter, which puts us at a very special milestone, a milestone that we put as a goal, which we were like, that's a lofty goal. We'll throw that out there. This is back when we were like 10 subscribers. We're like, okay, now we have 20 and we're like, oh, okay. Well
we just quite literally, we didn't think we'd ever get there and that people enjoyed the show enough to support us in that way. So reaching this right before we're going off on this like dream vacation
where we did celebrate it was actually the 2-year date was one of the days that we were
we'll get to that on the cruise portion.
Yeah.
But just, It's just incredible to think of where it all started and what I was thinking of getting out of the podcast, starting it on my own and seeing where we are now and thinking to like childhood M, she'd be so proud.
Yeah, she would be.
I mean, I'm still proud to this day, but it's just crazy to see where, how far we've come and the wonderful people we've met along the way and the little community we're growing. It's just awesome.
It is pretty awesome.
So thank you, Megan, for joining. Very warm welcome.
And thank you to all our Patreon supporters. We are going to put together, we said we would do a Patreon specific or exclusive giveaway when we hit this number. So we have been kicking around some ideas. So we'll have those. We will put all that together. So there's still time to join if you want in on that giveaway. But we'll have more details to come when we iron all that out.
Yes.
But also speaking of giveaways, look at all these transitions. Man, it's like we do this professionally.
Transitions. Maybe. It's like we're a Disney park.
Yeah, transitions. Episode 100 giveaway winners with the Magical Castle embroidery hats. You know what I'm talking about. We will have those packages probably out here shortly. We have received all of the contents of what we're giving away. So we just have to make the packages and ship them out.
Yes. So bear with us. Those will get out to our winners very shortly. Congrats to everybody who've won. And thank you so much to everybody that had entered.
Yes. Thank you so, so much. Okay. Comic book corner.
Seems like you're really rushing to get to this comic book corner. You're like, all right, comic book corner now?
Technically, this is relevant to what we're talking about today.
It is actually.
So we left to go to Florida two Wednesdays ago. So it was episode 6, I want to say, of X-Men 97, which I downloaded and said, this will be perfect to watch on the airplane, right? It'll be perfect. Let me tell you what, it wasn't perfect. It was the wrong decision. I should have waited, because if you've ever seen a grown man cry at 30,000 feet, well, you probably haven't. But M now has seen. I was legit bawling my eyes out.
Not just eyes watering.
Like legit, like
tears streaming down his face.
I at one point sat forward in my airline chair and was just like hands just like couldn't believe what I was seeing. And then I legit turned to Emily and I was crying. And she's like, shoot, my phone, where's it at? I couldn't believe it. It was fantastic. It's so good. If a animated show like this can make
make a man who doesn't cry during Titanic cry.
Enough with the Titanic crying portion. But
never.
And then we also had another episode that we just watched with Life, Death, Part 2, which was very exciting. Oh, but yes, it's such a fantastic series. Ooh, I'm so hyped.
Rewind to before you started crying during the episode. It was also very funny since we both had our noise cancellation headphones on. I can't hear what Clayton's saying.
And we had masks because we didn't want to get sick.
Yeah.
We've had a weird track record recently.
It's mainly with longer flights. We just want to be sure we weren't sick in the parks or on the cruise. So we just wore masks just to be extra safe. So I can't, if he says something to me, I really can't hear him. I can't see his mouth move or anything. And I just see him continue to point at the screen. Like, I don't know.
A lot of Easter eggs in that episode.
I don't know what you're trying to tell me.
A lot of character Easter eggs in that episode. So yeah, that was, it was fantastic. It's so cool. I'm excited for where it's going, except the creator of the show who was let go from the company. I don't know. We don't know. He said that this was the warm up. So I don't know what that means for the final three episodes.
Brace yourselves, everyone.
Not ready, probably. But yeah. And then we got an episode.
Didn't you say it got greenlit for three seasons already?
It's been their finished second season writing, and they've been greenlit for a third season, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. The X-Men are just having a moment here. Because then we also got today.
Clayton sure was having a moment on that airplane.
We got a trailer. Yeah. Got a trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine. And let me tell you what, I've never been more excited for a movie.
More than Dune 2.
I don't know. This a comic accurate
more
X-Men
than Dune
Wolverine?
2, are you for real?
It basically looks like they took a Deadpool and Wolverine.
Deadpool. Dead man tell no tales.
Looks like they like it's fantastic. It just looks fantastic. The trailer looks fantastic. I'm just the X-Men are having a moment. It's time to get into the X-Men. If you want to know all about the X-Men, I'm actually going to probably start doing some Patreon stuff on the X-Men. So
hey,
spoiler alert.
Plug. Go over there for more.
But I think enough about that.
Not enough about that. I'm going to drag out Comic Book Corner more.
Oh,
because we watched that episode at the beginning of our flight.
Yeah.
Great way to start off that several hour journey.
Yeah.
we transitioned to a different show. Completely different ballpark, has no relation, complete stark opposite of X-Men. We're gonna be landing soon. We turn off this show. Clayton just looks at me and you still look so distraught and said, I'm not okay.
I was not okay.
Like, Clayton, that was hours ago.
I'm not okay. Not okay.
He's not okay, everybody, in case you're wondering. so cute. It was really cute, Clayton.
Yeah, I'm not okay.
All right, is that...
But I wonder, actually, I'm curious because... So in the Deadpool and Wolverine movie, like, seems like the big bad guy is Cassandra Nova. She's like the... Huh? She's a fourth dimensional being that's kind of the genetic clone of Charles Xavier. She was created in Grant Morrison's new X-Men run, which... is where they did the E for Extinction event, which is what that episode is kind of based off of. I've lost Emily.
You're saying a lot of words I don't understand.
All right, let's go. She's the big bad in Deadpool and Wolverine. I'm not sure if she's going to show up in X-Men 97. That would be very interesting.
Very interesting. You know what's more interesting?
What would Walt do? Speaking of Walt, this is a quote that's mostly a running joke from us since we spent both days in Epcot. And it's been a running joke since about a year ago when Emily mentioned it. And it's just the way that she pronounced it. And now it's just like the way that we do it.
All right. Let's start with the quote first. What does Walt have to say?
It's actually from Walt to say this week. We call it Epcot. Spelled E-P-C-O-T. Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. Don't you forget it. And this seemed relevant because we literally spent both days in Epcot. That was what we wanted to do. Did not do any of the park hopping. Just 2 days at Epcot. Living the dream, doing the Flower and Garden Festival.
For the first time.
Meeting up with some friends. Ooh, exciting. Ooh. And spending some time in the parks before we got on the cruise ship.
So is that the only reason you chose this quote? Just because we were in Epcot.
Well, it was like the running joke is whenever we would be saying this to each other anytime we mentioned anything about Epcot. So like when you go in the Starbucks, on the floor there is the original old Epcot layout. Fun fact.
Yes, fun fact.
And like whenever you see that kind of stuff, it's just like, oh, me and Emily would shout out to each other. Oh, we call it Epcot. And then there was also the brunch cot
food booth,
which was also, we call it brunch cot. So anywhere that we could do that, that's what we did.
Trying to hone in my Walt, call it Epcot. He did the best pronunciation on it. That's my best impression of Walt. We call it Epcot.
Call it brunch cot. So
into actual Epcot.
So we left on Wednesday. We got on a plane on SFO and one way. Nonstop, excuse me. That's we're pretty much flying to East Coast the day of. We pretty much lose that day unless we do a red eye. So we SFO nonstop to MCO. We got to MCO. They should just rename that. What are they doing? We got there probably about 7:30, but then we had to do mirrors, get our luggage, do mirrors, get to the yacht club.
Correct. It seemed like you almost forgot where we stayed for a moment.
I was like, there's two of them. Which one did we stay at? We stayed at the yacht club.
Not the beach club. Yacht club.
So we got to the, we only got up to the yacht club.
Correct.
It was a good thing I remember the name of this resort, which is something that I had a lot of problems with the day we got off our cruise ship.
This will come up probably on our last trip recap episode.
This will come up later. So we got to the yacht club probably about 9 o'clock.
So we were quite tired by the time we arrived.
Checked in. We got dinner from the hotel market.
Which I want to take a moment here. I really appreciate. I'm not sure about if every single hotel in Walt Disney World has them. Probably do. Some sorts where it's almost like a grab and go type of situation. Mm-hmm. Not just where there's only a couple items, but they'll have a wide variety of just beverages, quick little snacks.
Like a quick service, not quick service, but more like a quick little market kind of
Thing.
It's
just a very nice offering.
Yeah, you know, you can get like an alcoholic beverage, water, some kinds of beverages.
They usually have like cookies, milk, stuff like cookies. Fruit,
you know, it's kind of nice to have that. So we get a couple waters, we got a Caesar salad or something, just some kind of quick and easy to eat.
And I don't know, I should have written it down. Shout out to the cast member that helped us. They gave us a free dessert.
They gave us a free dessert, that's right.
Very kind.
So we went up to our room, we were on the fourth floor?
Doesn't matter.
We're on the fourth floor, but we had a balcony, a corner
Water view,
which we could actually see the fireworks from Epcot, from the Epcot show. We call it Epcot. So we could see the fireworks. So we got to watch the fireworks, got a sneak peek of that show, at least the firework portion, while we were eating our dinner.
It was lovely.
And then we started to, you know, get ready for bed because of the time change. It was going to be a bit of an issue. We did not fall asleep. Sleep was a interesting thing for the first couple of days of the trip. Let's just put it that way.
Yes. But yes, great, great room.
Great room.
Really beautiful.
The only issue was where our room was, and this is just a fact of kind of where our room was.
This could be an issue at literally any hotel you stay at. This isn't yacht club exclusive.
It's just like it was by the elevator, so you heard the elevator like rev up, like the whoosh, and then like a lot. That was the only complaint. Otherwise, there was no issues.
I wouldn't really even say that's a complaint, though.
No, I wouldn't.
You could be in a different room, and that wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, we didn't have any issues. Unlike our last time, we were at the beach club, where we had Scream Baby. Yeah.
But we're not talking about that. We're talking about our beautiful room that we had this time. So highly recommend.
Flashback.
Waterview room at the Yacht Club. Overlooks the pool. And yes, you can see the Epcot fireworks.
Yeah.
And the nice, beautiful waters that surround Yacht Club, Beach Club, and Boardwalk.
Mm-hmm.
Just really beautiful area at night. I think it's one of my favorite places now. Specifically at nighttime.
I would agree. I like the whole boardwalk area. Yeah. Has
a nice, fantastic, the young kids say, vibe about it.
Yeah, that's what the young kids say, I'm sure. Now, moving on to the next day. Day one, this was Epcot. Weird. Woke up, Emily was getting ready. I made sure that our taxes were paid because we were about to get on a cruise ship with no cell service or internet reception. So made sure that the important taxes were paid. That's very important. Make sure to pay your taxes. But Emily was getting ready, and I learned something new about Emily that I haven't known in 10 years. I learned a new thing about makeup, and I was amazed. Emily goes, oh my gosh, I forgot my eyeshadow primer. And I was like, what? You have to have a primer for the eyeshadow? And she goes, yeah. Otherwise, it could move. It could like drain or bleed or whatever.
Drain?
It could what? Bleed. I need my eyeshadow primer. I was like,
crease.
That's not a real thing, is it?
Yes, it is. If you have oily eyelids, it can.
My goodness. I learn something new every day. Emily's like, maybe.
Of course, you don't know this. You don't understand.
I've done your makeup one time. You don't understand. I've done your makeup before.
You clearly still don't understand
that. You look like you had a black eye at the end of it. At least one of them looked like I punched you right in the face. But yeah, I was amazed. Eyeshadow primer. Who knew? I didn't know. But yeah, so it was really great weather this day. It did rain this day.
That was not a trend. I don't know how you transition out of that.
Well, because you were all worried about your eyeshadow melting away in the high humidity heat. But we had perfect weather, right?
That's a trend. You never know, though, when you show up to Florida.
Put me in Imagineering, because that's a transition.
Oh, my word.
So good of a transition, you didn't even know where I was going with it.
Hey, I literally didn't. So I said, wow, that was jarring.
We had really great weather. It was the first day. It was... it did rain, so the beginning of the day was cooler, and there was a pretty strong breeze.
I said, wow, this is nice. I'm not nice. Sweating at all.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And we did have some rain, but even after the rain came through, it's not like it jumped up a billion degrees in humidity or anything. It was a really nice day. Second day we were there.
Also very nice.
No rain, no cloud cover, but not like smack you in the face hot. So it was nice.
It really wasn't very humid either of the first 2 days.
No, it was not. So, of course, we had to tackle our biggest fear of going to any Walt Disney World resort.
You want to talk about anxiety inducing.
Yeah, you want to talk about
something. This does it for me.
We left the mint tins at home this time.
We did not bring any cough drop bags with us.
We didn't have any sniffles, so no cough drop bags with us. But, yes, we made it through Walt Disney World security. It only took 6 tries last time before we figured it all out.
And now we're seasoned pros.
Yeah, we made it through every Walt Disney World security check on 3 straight days across who knows how many parks, with no issues.
I think we deserve a medal for that.
Yeah, where's our winter medal? Well, we have a bunch of winter medals over there.
You made it through security. Congratulations. And so we figured it out. So if you want tips on how to get through security with no issues at Walt Disney World, ask us. I think we figured it out finally.
Yeah, of course.
I think.
Who knows?
I think.
It could have been.
Maybe we just got lucky. I think.
Okay, so we were.
So I will say.
Yeah.
When you can make it through security without issues,
yeah,
it is great. But yeah. I still get anxiety every single time before I have to walk through the scanner.
Yeah, that's true.
No one's there to tell you what could signal it off. They just say one at a time, one at a time, one at a time. They're trying to just push people through, which is nice. It's efficient. Gets a lot of people through if you don't have anything that's going to flag you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it was very pleasant this time.
Yeah.
Opposed to last time. So I'm very happy about that.
Yeah. We, as mentioned, we're at Epcot. We went over to visit the Snow Queen, Elsa, and ignored Olaf while we were in that ride.
Never.
Ignored him.
Uh-uh. He's one of the best animatronics, so no way.
Oh, my goodness.
Along with Sven, the two stars of Frozen Ever After. And not Elsa. Not Elsa.
Oh, my goodness. While we were in Norway, there was a shocking development about food availability in Norway, which was just outstanding to me, and I couldn't believe it. So they used to have, keyword, the troll horns, which is, I guess, what is that? Like puff pastry that's like in a rod.
Nice cream inside.
With a nice cream in it. Cream
I think
filling.
It had little sugars coating with actual horn portion
fantastic
of it.
Fantastic
well.
Light dessert.
In theme.
In theme, troll horn, Norway. And they just ripped it out of there. And it's no longer available at the Norwegian bakery.
It also has not been there for years.
Well, I want to win this trip.
You can join the club of being upset along with David.
Yeah, where's my troll horn?
Shout out to @TheDisneyAficionado on Instagram. He is also quite upset because he said the troll horn was one of his favorites and it's gone now.
So this, my recurring joke throughout our Epcot day was Epcot's taking everything for me in new Epcot.
You've never mentioned a troll horn to me once in the last however many years.
I wanted it though. And
you just decided 6 years later, yeah, I want a troll horn.
I reserve the ability to get something. Maybe that's why they
got rid of it, because people are waiting every 6 years to order it.
Well, I wanted a troll horn this trip. And yeah, so Epcot's just taken away things for me. Troll horns, Ellen's Energy Adventure. It's ridiculous.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people are upset about that.
They should be. Ellen's Energy Adventure was a fantastic ride. I'm going to die on that hill.
Jeez.
Fantastic ride. So after we got off Frozen, we walked back to... we went to go see if we can get on Test Track, but the line was pretty busy. So we decided to go get some breakfast. Did not have a booth fest breakfast.
Well, those don't even open until 11 a.m.
Oh, I knew that. Anyways, so we went to the trusty Starbucks, got a sandwich, got a coffee, got really into the bakery that's in there where we're making the Bakmuchen? Bakmuchen.
Is that even what it's called?
I think so. Bakmuchen.
No, that is not what it's called.
Oh, it's Bakmuchen.
No. It's also not what it's called. We kept calling it Baumkuchen.
Oh, that's right. It's Baumkuchen.
But that's also not even how you pronounce it.
Yeah, it's Baumkuchen.
No.
Boom. Yeah, it is. I looked it up. It's Baumkuchen.
Oh, I think you are right. Never mind.
Yeah, but of course
I'm
right.
I like Baumkuchen.
Baumkuchen.
It sounds cute. Like Coochie Coochie Coochin.
Well, they're also making like four of those a day, and I was like, I don't ever see anyone eating this when we're in the Starbucks.
I've never seen anyone eating one, but
maybe they order it a bunch on the other side.
I don't know.
But I've never seen anyone eat it.
I've never seen walking around eating one.
Yeah.
I want to know how they are.
And did you know that if you want to become a Konditormeister, which that's not how you say that word at all.
Can't please.
Konditormeister.
Say it five times fast.
Konditormeister, 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 Konditormeister.
But last time was...
That's the German.
You did really good. Well done.
That's the German word for master baker. You have to make
the
a
more bomb, you know.
You have to make a Baumkuchen to become a Konditormeister.
A lot of words.
And Emily's like, why don't you tap on the glass like they're in a fish aquarium and see what they're doing?
No, I just wanted you to do that and then just wave directly at them like a weirdo.
We were watching them make the Baumkuchen.
Really
is actually really
this
interesting.
This should be listed as an activity on the app.
Yeah, you should, because they.
Go watch some Baumkuchen.
They have this like spit oven. So it's got like this big spit in it, and it's just an oven.
Maybe explain what they actually are.
Oh, so a bomb.
Like, what is a
Baumkuchen? A Baumkuchen, or whatever it is. It's like a tree cake. So that's like literally what it's supposed to be. It's like a tree cake.
Representing the rings within
a
tree.
Yeah, so they make it within layers. There's like 16, 17 layers of cake, basically, that are baked upon each other.
It almost looks like a long donut, kind
of. Yeah, with a lot of rings in it.
Yes.
And so they basically have the cake batter in this big trough, and they keep dumping the Baumkuchen in there, and then they like let it drip off, and then they put it back in there, it just bakes, and then they when it's time to add a new layer, they open up the thing, they bump it in the batter again.
You want to talk about underrated things to do at Epcot?
Go watch them make the Baumkuchen.
It's really fun.
Okay, so after we did
this. Okay, enough about that.
Yeah, enough about this. I think after this, we went to go visit our main man, Walt Disney.
Ooh.
So we got us some pictures with Walt, the Dreamer statue, right?
Yes, it's technically also called Dreamer's Point, if you want to be specific. Great addition to Epcot, by the way. I love it there.
It's very nice, actually.
Do we want to stop and talk about this general area since this is all new?
Yeah, I think that's a good place to go, yeah.
First of all, I'm just happy it's no longer Walcott. There are some walls, but it's much easier to get around. It's not
easier to get around.
We do not call it Walcott. It is Epcot.
Yeah, I'm gonna warn everyone right there. You're gonna hear that a lot. Not the Walcott, but just anything that ends in cot.
Correct.
So, yes, I it's now that the walls are down.
First
bring
off,
down those walls.
Amazing, amazing. Just nice to be able to get through that center area. It,
so
it
nice.
Feels, it brings a brand new life to Epcot, as we call it.
We call it Epcot.
I've heard a lot of mixed...
Yeah.
Mixed opinions, I would say, on this general area
There's
of the
highs
park.
And lows, I would agree.
My general take of it, I just love that it's open. I love that you can walk through it. Beautiful, because they have so much greenery in this actual area.
Yeah.
I was expecting to not like it as much during the day. People have mainly been talking, it's gorgeous at night, which it is, spoiler alert. But even during the day, it's just, it feels alive now because you actually have shade. You have benches. It's a place where a lot of people like to congregate. They have characters around. Really gorgeous. And of course, adding Walt, I love the fact that it's approachable. I do love the partner statue, of course, but it's like on a pedestal. You don't feel as connected to it sometimes.
Yeah.
I like that you can actually sit down with Walt, put your arm around him, and get a picture.
I do. I also like that. I have a fun fact about the partner statue that I gave to some, hopefully they're listening to this. We were on the cruise ship and there was a trivia, and one of the answers, we weren't even in that trivia. I was just walking by. We were in a different trivia and I had to go use the restroom and come back.
So many trivias.
And we have a lot of trivias. Just wait to see how many medals we have. So the answer was the partner statue. And I said, oh, you want to have a fun fact about the partner statue? And they're like, sure. Let us know what's the fun fact. I'm like, it was sculpted by Blaine Gibson. You are going to like Blaine Gibson because he's sculpted literally every head in the Pirates of the Caribbean and every ghost in the Haunted Mansion.
Among many other things.
And then I dropped an invisible mic and I walked into O'Gill's to go do my trivia, 18 and plus trivia. I think it was like DCL trivia we were getting ready for, which we did not win that one. We won the imaginary trivia before it, though.
Okay, enough about trivia. Let's get back to the part, or not part, oh geez. Yeah. Dreamers. Walt the Dreamer.
Walt the Dreamer. So yeah, I really like the area. I like where Walt is. I like that area.
I do like the vision behind his existence there. It's supposed to be him looking out towards World Showcase and him seeing what they've done with, while they did not create the Epcot that he actually envisioned, they still brought things like World Showcase, which I believe he'd be really proud of.
I think so. I would agree on that part, too.
So to me, that's very inspiring. And I do like that they still include ways to honor Walt in such a big way within Epcot. And it's like,
especially within
the big kind of set. I mean, it's not the center of Epcot just from the layout. It's kind of interesting with that park, but it feels like he's in the heart of the park.
Like that is like you would say the heart of the park. I mean, I know you have the World Showcase Lagoon, but
also fun fact, you know how you mentioned in the Starbucks on the ground, they have the map of Epcot.
They have the map of Epcot.
The original Epcot.
There are several places that you can find the original map of Epcot in Epcot.
Where else?
In a ride that took Ellen's Energy Adventure area, but within the Guardians
Cosmic Rewind,
when they do the when you're walking through the line, which sometimes you can't always catch it because I don't know, when we walked through the line the two times, we like always sprinted through the line because of how they were doing the passes.
We can talk more on that later, but
they do like have like an original clip of Walt talking about the Epcot layout, and they show the Epcot layout right next to him, and then they kind of do a zoom in on it.
It's basically they take the exact clip that was aired.
Yeah.
And then what I was trying to lead to is behind Walt the Dreamer statue, they have kind of bits of the map right behind his back.
Yeah. But yeah, I like the area. I guess it has a highs and lows, but otherwise I like what they were trying to maybe do with it.
Yes, my only complaints, I generally agree with the complaint about the sculptures they've included. My take is just don't include them. I don't feel as if they add anything. They're nothing special. They're pretty bland and they don't look like anything to me.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So I feel like they would have been better off if they just didn't include those. Then they have the main planter, which currently for Flower and Garden Festival, they had a really beautiful figment topiary. So that added a lot, and it was spaced directly centered with Spaceship Earth in the background. So great photo opportunity. But my only complaint with the planter is it doesn't add any kinetic energy to the area, where pre-old Epcot, they used to have the Fountain of Nations, which clearly that's a huge element of kinetic energy. It brought a lot of life to the area. It's quite large. I don't think you need a fountain that big in this new area, but I think it would have been better off if they maybe included a smaller plant or incorporated water also within it, just so there's some kind of movement, because there's just a lot of greenery, which I do really enjoy, but I think that would add a lot if there was some kind of water movement or just something to bring the area more to life.
Yeah, that's fair.
So those are really my only complaints. At night, it's even better. The whole area is gorgeous. So even during the day, I'm a fan. At night, even more so. Good job, Imagineering. Great addition.
Good job. I think from here, after we explored all this area, it was about time for the booths to open up. So we walked into the World Showcase. We just happened to walk the Mexico Way. Don't read into it.
Clayton has opinions on this.
It was also, it came up a lot when we're also on the cruise, which is weird, but we go whichever way we please.
We need to go.
Yeah, we just happened to go through Mexico because we wanted to get a margarita.
Yes, but what Clayton is alluding to, people feel very strongly that you have to start in Mexico when going into the World Showcase each trip.
Yeah.
Like when you first are entering, you have to start in Mexico. It's a crime to start in Canada. My opinion is start wherever you want to. World Showcase is amazing. You'll have a great time either way. I don't think there's a right way to do it.
So since we were having a margarita.
We needed to go to margarita. So that was our starting point.
That's where we went. And since we had a margarita and we're like, oh, look, the booths are open. Let's get some food.
Yeah.
So we're just going to talk about all the food that we had this first day right now at this moment in time.
Get ready.
One spot. And if there's anything that represents a festival and food, it would be this quote, trash can wontons. Let's go. So we were... We were walking through and we were through China and someone ordered a couple things of wontons and like, oh, all the tables are there. And one guy was like, trash can, obviously. And the lady in their group was like, trash can wontons, let's go. That's pretty much every festival. That's a little, ever.
You don't even care. You're like, yeah, sure.
Sure, it's a I'll table. Eat on a garbage can. It's a
I
table.
Care.
I don't care.
It's, I'm in Disney.
I'll throw it in the trash right as I'm done. It's all great.
Perfect.
Yeah. So we hit up...
I was just going to stop. If you're not familiar with Disney festivals,
yeah,
both for Epcot and for if you're going to the other coast at California Adventure, they'll bring additional food offerings. Mm. So this is represented in what are called food booths.
The booths.
I just had to mention that in case people are wondering.
Some of the things that we enjoyed very much. We got the tamale from Mexico, which was delicious.
We got it twice.
We got it. It was so good we had it twice. Frushi from Japan.
This was probably the most anticipated item for me. For Flower and Garden Festival, this is a staple. You will always see Instagram photos of this. People are always posting about it. It is so pretty, so beautiful. How can you not try it? I mean, it's frushi to some will sound disgusting. I was intrigued. It's actually
pretty good.
It was really good. Would have gotten two orders of it.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense, actually, because rice is very widely used in Japan for a number of reasons. Like, you get just because it's rice and it's kind of insinuated to be a, you know, like a savory item here in the States, that you can get, like, you can do a lot of things with it. So
why not do fruit sushi?
Yeah, fruit sushi. So we got frushi. That was very good.
That was a winner for me. One of the highlights of the festival.
We got the...
I think what was inside? It was pineapple, strawberry. It's
like, yeah, pineapple, strawberry.
One other fruit. And then...
Maybe one other fruit.
It has rice around
coconut
it.
Coconut rice. So a sweeter rice because it's the coconut.
And then it's wrapped in like a pink...
Like a... Yeah, likey wrap or something?
I'm not quite sure. Either way, it's still sweet. It's not like it's wrapped in sweet.
We have the booklet. Let's check the tape.
And then I can also add on, there's a little bit of whipped cream on the side and like raspberry sauce. But yeah, it's great presentation. I mean, it costs quite a bit for what you're getting.
Yeah.
But that's part of it. It's fruit sushi. It's a novelty with Flower and Garden Festival.
Oh, pink soy wrap.
Strawberry, wrap.
Pineapple, and lychee.
Lychee.
Wrapped in coconut rice and pink soy wrap, served with whipped cream, drizzled raspberry sauce, and toasted coconut.
Oh, toasted coconut. That's right. Yeah. Highly recommend if you're feeling adventurous.
We also got from Canada the beef tenderloin and the scallops.
Oh, Canada is right.
The beef tenderloin was fantastic.
Got it twice.
The scallops were good. It was just a smaller portion. I think there was only...
I just don't think it was worth the price tag, which... Of course, when you're going to Disney and with the added festival, you're going to get smaller portion sizes.
Yeah.
It will be expensive. It's Disney food, theme park food. But especially for this, the portion size didn't quite match up to the price we were paying, at least in our opinion. It was very good, though. Just not worth the price in my eyes.
From China, we got the peanut skewer, the peanut sauce skewer, chicken skewer, and the... vegetable
dumplings.
The skewer was really good.
Vegetable dumplings were, they were fine. Just average.
Yeah, average. From the Germany pavilion, we got the potato pancakes. Those were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
We also got your violet lemonade.
Delicious and so pretty.
Yeah, from Trowel and Trellis, We got the Impossible Farmhouse meatball with lentil flatbread.
That was a winner.
That was a winner. That was very
quite
good.
Tasty.
From we call it Brunchcot.
Brunchcot.
We got the avocado toast. So you know, traditional American avocado toast, which was very good though.
It was good. I do want to note we have one more item, at least from what I can see on our list, but we should leave that last because that was my favorite thing, hands down, that we had out of the entire festival.
Yeah, it was like liquid cocaine. Or
I could not believe. I felt like Remy in Ratatouille when he's like, all right, now
where's that from? I wonder.
Take a bite and close your eyes, and then like fireworks are going off in my head. I couldn't believe it. It was so good.
Okay.
This was before I forget. I do want to comment on how great they were about with this festival and offering a lot of like vegetarian plant-based options. Yeah. So to appeal to a wider variety and feel more inclusive to others, I really enjoy that. It goes, again, in theme with the festival. Plants, you know.
Yeah. So if you've never been to the festival, there's also like a festival treat. So if you buy five items from like specific items,
they're
from
all plant-based items for this one.
Around different booths, you get a free item. We did not do this, but we did try a lot of the items that were on here, and they were very good.
Yes. With most of, I think actually with all of the Epcot festivals, they do one of these special like treat trail type things. Like for a festival of the holidays, they do the cookie stroll. Yeah. If you complete the stroll, they'll give you an extra cookie. So you basically take your little passport. They give these out for free. You can get a little stamp, ask them to stamp it for you, so you have proof that you ordered it, and then you just keep collecting stamps of the different items that are available within this little treat trail, and then you can redeem your free item. For this one, I believe it was in like a fancy little cup that said Flower and Garden and had some lime Dole Whip, from what I believe. Do not quote me on that, but just a fun little addition.
So from other food things that we ate, we got a pretzel from Germany, which I don't think we've ever actually gotten a pretzel from Germany.
We have not. Usually we get the bratwurst.
Definitely showing up on the repeat list of things to try in
Epcot. Great, great. This is one of the favorites from our friends at Pirates of Polynesian. Funny I mentioned them. Corey, this is one of her favorite things to get in Epcot.
Delicious.
And Corey has some good, good taste.
We ate at a new quick service we didn't even know existed. We somehow never, ever, ever have ever seen this quick service.
We
were investigating in Japan and we saw a whole area we've never been in, which is weird.
I may have walked around that upper area before my very first trip, but I've definitely never eaten there.
So we ate at the Katsura Grill, which is the Japanese quick service, which is, you know where they, if you've been in Japan, there's the store and like the hibachi grill on the kind of the right. This is to the left. That's up by the stairs by that building that they do the drum shows on.
It's like koi ponds.
Yeah, it's a koi pond.
Ponds and bridges. It's very peaceful and beautiful up there. It's tucked away.
Emily got the shrimp tempura udon. Ooh. I got the beef chicken teriyaki.
Very good. Very good.
And it was very good. I think that's most of the food that we ate throughout the
those were the garden, Flower and Garden Festival exclusives and like the main things we got that first day.
I think the second day we just ate smaller items around.
And we did repeats items from the festival.
I don't think we had a like really big meal that second day.
And we got caramel corn the second day. We'll get into that in a little bit.
We'll take that. But I think
the last item.
We have one. Do you want to talk about the last item now?
I don't know.
Okay, so sure. Our last item we're going to talk about, this thing is a winner. Oh, so we're like, we need to go get dessert for the show on the first day. And Emily's like, I want this beignet from France. The France Pavilion food booth, which is called, he checks the tape, Fleur de Lis.
Ooh, fancy.
Which I apologize to the cast member who was helping us because I said, one beignet, please. And he said, oui. And I didn't hear him because it's also extremely loud. They're getting ready for the show and there's a bunch of people talking. And he said it very gently. And I was just like, just oui, the one, like, please.
Oui.
He's like, I said, oui. I was like, oh, sorry. Excuse me. Thank you. Just that, please.
Excuse me. I'm a rude American.
Ah, you American swine. So we got the... where is this thing? Beignet Carmelis.
Oui.
essentially, this is a creme brulee beignet.
Oh.
So it's about the size of a stuffed donut, you know, like a cream donut.
Standard size.
It's filled with vanilla cream.
Oof.
And then right before they serve it to you, they dump a pile of sugar on the top and they caramelize that like it's a creme brulee. And then they hand it to you and you're just like, I'm sorry, what
this
now?
This looks like the greatest thing I'm about to eat and in my whole life.
And it was pretty much, it was like essentially mixing creme brulee and a beignet stuffed donut.
Hey, imagine, that's what it's the name of the item.
And it was fantastic. We're sitting there eating it like right in front of the thing. We're just like, I don't want to eat anything. We split it because we were just gonna maybe split two desserts. And after we eat this, we're like, I don't want to eat anything else because I just want this to like live in my mouth.
In my mouth and in between my teeth and give me cavities.
Yeah. So that was
so good.
It was
and
so good.
I wouldn't be worried about this. Usually when you think of like a cream filled donut,
yeah, it's like,
at least for me, I worry the filling is going to be really sweet. It was not. It was just a nice light vanilla
nice
taste. It wasn't overly sweet by any means.
It wasn't
perfect.
Sweet.
And yes, the ultimate winner of the Flower and Garden Festival. It was so good. Ugh, I'm going to dream of that thing. My gosh.
Okay, now that we've knocked food out of the park.
Big question. So, listeners, if you've been listening for quite a while, you know our number one thing in Epcot typically is caramel corn from Germany. Would you say beignet, creme brulee beignet, or caramel corn? If they go head to head, which is the better dessert item?
I'm not walking away from caramel corn.
Well, what if this was like a permanent item? You can only save one for the rest of eternity. The other one has to go in the garbage can.
We have the troll horn.
Yeah.
Caramel corn.
You're still picking caramel,
yeah, caramel
corn?
Of course I'm still picking caramel corn. Don't come at
Can
me.
They please make this a permanent item? Like I would that. Order this every time I go to Epcot if they made it permanent. It's unbelievable.
Caramel corn.
I'm not saying kick caramel corn on the curb. I'm just saying I really wish they'd make this permanent.
Okay. Back to the day.
Oh my gosh.
So that was all the food. So we're going to kind of travel back and Epcot time.
Yeah, we're still earlier in the day.
So earlier in the day,
first day of Epcot.
We did the virtual queue for Guardians. I woke up at 7 a.m. even though I slept like crap. Emily was still snoozing and I got us the virtual queue. And she's like, oh, you got us the virtual queue? I was like, of course I did. I'm no rookie.
I rubbed my eyes, did a nice little yawn. I jumped out of bed and I was ready for the day.
Yeah.
Just took me a second. I didn't get much sleep either.
But then we also did the individual lightning lane, at least for the first day. And they were running behind. So there was supposed to be like an hour gap between when we got the lightning lane and when we were supposed to get on with our virtual queue. But with how everything worked out, they were overlapping times, which was a little confusing when we were trying to figure out how to get through there in the pouring rain. Because we went through the virtual queue line the first time and
without
didn't realize
realizing.
It. And then when we did the ride, I think we got two new songs, or we got...
No, I Ran.
We got I Ran the first time, which is something we've actually
or
already
if
gotten
I Ran,
before.
I always forget the name of it.
So we did that, and then we got out, and it had been drizzling before this.
That quickly changed.
And when we got out of the Guardians the first time, it was now pouring.
Like, ooh, this is the Florida I remember.
Yeah. So then we were sprinting over to get into the lane again, and we again didn't realize a bunch of people were like congregating because in there's a little that little overhang that protects the cast members
at the entrance to both
and
lines.
People were just like congregating right there, and the cast members are trying to get them to go, and everyone's like, oh, but it's raining, and
cast members are like, welcome to Florida,
yeah,
people.
Cast members
this
like,
happens
welcome
all
to Florida.
Time.
We don't have a weather machine.
We don't control this. There's no dome over the parks.
We were talking about this with Pirates of the Polynesian. Oh, wait,
oh,
what? Weird.
When did we talk to them about that?
But that's weird. And we were informed that the number one selling item at the Walt Disney World Resort, poncho.
Not surprised at all. I'm like, yes, that makes a lot of sense.
We came prepared, though. We had rain jackets. And so we were trying to get in, and we didn't realize that we went back into the standby queue and our thing wasn't scanning. And she's like, oh, you already did this. I was like, what? But we also have a light. And I was like trying to get the words out, and I was like stumbling over my words. And I'm like, but we also had an individual lightning, because it's impossible to say individual lightning lane in a way that makes you sound intelligent, because it's the dumbest name for anything ever.
Basically, it feels like someone's dumping buckets of water on your
head.
Yeah,
and it's pouring over us.
It's like pelting. The raindrops were probably I don't even know a good comparison. They were huge.
And it didn't help that when we went through the virtual queue, there wasn't a queue because it was just like, how are they? Because they were behind. So when even when they scanned you through the virtual queue, it might as well have been individual Lightning Lane because there was no line. You just basically walked through the entire attraction line until you got to the first corral area. So it was that didn't help at all.
But it's basically all it's doing is just letting you get on a second time.
Yeah, essentially you're just buying access for a second time. So we got a new song on the second time, Conga. But I've learned that this ride might not be for me because
I don't think it mixes well with you. Kind of like Space Mountain for you.
Two times in a row definitely didn't help. The second time, I stopped making noises and just stared forward and was trying to breathe. And Emily, once the ride got over, Emily's fixing her hair. She looks over me. I'm just like,
and I have this big smile on my face. I'm like,
and I'm just like
dancing.
My face is green and I'm trying not to look at anything.
Yeah. You're not staring at me. You're just hyper focused on looking ahead. I'm like, Clayton, are you okay? Honey, are you okay? Do you need some water? We get out of the car? I'm asking a million questions. Do you need
to sit? She's like, do you need to sit down? Can you do the stairs? Do you want to pause? I'm like, I'm an adult man. Do
you
need to use the
restroom? Are you okay?
I'm an adult male.
Stop treating me like a baby. I'm like, no, 34 years old. I'm concerned. I want to make sure you're okay.
But one of the things that we do mention about Cosmic Rewind, which is, I don't know, sad in a way.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Is we were complaining about theming with another group of people.
I don't know who those people were.
And we were talking about it and we were telling them because they've never been on this ride and we're telling them about the phenomenon that occurs where
every single time you go on this ride
the minute the walls come up in this ride without giving away too much,
just say the last pre-show
and the last pre-show, half the audience instead of watching the show just bolts to the other side of the room.
And it's not like a slow pace. People literally run past you.
If you're not paying attention, they might run you over, basically. It's, yeah. And it's just like, you know, because we were complaining about like, oh, why don't we have great themed rides anymore? It's like, well, even when they do have a great themed ride, this is what happens.
The pre-show for Cosmic Rewind, again, we won't give spoilers if you've been on it. There's basically two pre-shows.
Yeah.
Very well themed. They're trying to really tell a story. Great special effects. The point there, they're quite impressive.
Right.
And like, I always try and pay attention to it. Granted, like, we don't live in Florida. We aren't annual pass holders. We don't go to Epcot all the time. So I want to take it all in. Clearly, these people go a lot.
Yeah.
But still, it's like, you know, we're all going to get on the ride. All the people in this room, it's not
too filled. Be three cars ahead of me.
Essentially, you might get on one cart before
everyone
else by racing to the other side. So it's, I don't know, it's just like, chill out. Enjoy what Imagineering has done. We're always asking for this as fans. Try and enjoy it rather than just racing to get on the ride. Because this is all part of it. Otherwise, why should Imagineering really take all this time to give you a well-told story and entertain you before you get on the ride rather than just waiting in switchbacks if we don't appreciate it? Mm-hmm. Or maybe just do it a little more kindly. I don't know. Our listeners, they're not the right people to be telling this to.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just one of those things. Every single time you go, it bugs me. It's like, come on, people. Just chill out. We're in Disney. Relax. We'll get on the ride. We're here. We're in it together.
Yeah,
that's my opinion. I'm very passionate about this, clearly.
We forgot one thing that we're in it together with, Emily.
What?
The Beverly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mr. Ew, I don't want to. Don't make me drink the Beverly. I'm always going to make a big deal about this. You're not going to make me drink that.
I wonder where the Negroni came from. It probably came from Italy, where the Beverly is very nice.
Go ahead and tell it, Mr. Drama King.
So we went to the Beverly, or we went to the Club Cool.
And if you're not familiar, this is a free thing at Disney. You can do great activity.
Just make sure that your feet are going to, be aware that your feet are going to stick to the floor.
That's part of the fun. So you can
taste Coca-Cola soft drinks from around the world, one of which is
for free.
The Beverly from Italy.
And it is infamous among Disney fans. It is
infamous among Disney fans because it is a bitter aperitif almost drink.
It is gross.
And, you know, the funny joke is that everyone's like, oh, this is the worst. Well, I found a new drink last cruise that's called a Negroni, which is also very bitter.
Bitter and too bitter.
Oh, but actually we found a cool new Negroni on the cruise ship.
See, that was better because it's not bitter.
We'll talk about that.
Fun fact.
We'll talk about that during the cruise ship. But I crushed the Beverly. I was like, this is actually quite nice. And Emily's like,
are you are you serious? I'm the one who's trying to get you to drink this. You make a huge deal out of it. Like, no, I don't want to drink it. You taste it like, another.
One
pour,
more, please.
Pour me another, sir.
Pour me another.
Barkeep, another.
So this is a time, finally, where we're going to talk about the elephant in the room. Or should I say the pirate in the room?
Oh. Oh, my.
So we were going to meet up with a certain pair of people. They are known by their...
They're not the ghost hosts of the Polynesian.
They're the pirates of the Polynesian. And we had a very cool idea to basically shout at them when we saw them.
Okay. Well, funny part was they went to Magic Kingdom earlier in the day. They were going to come meet us in Epcot later. I said, okay, we have Guardians. Everyone knows the whole situation with Guardians. You kind of just get on it. You can't really give a time when you'll be done. And you never know how long the line will be. So I said, I'll let you know once we are off. I was getting ready to send a text. Like, okay, we're going to go head to Canada. I think go get some food. I'm almost about to send it. And then Clayton says, hey,
I noticed
them. We're both walking towards each other. I didn't even send the text yet.
Yeah, we were gonna shout at them, Pirates of the Polynesian. But then they looked up right as I was about to do it, and they saw us, and they're like, and they pointed.
And then I'm pointing back at them.
So they,
So that was very funny.
It was
that
very funny. We just happened upon each other
randomly.
I mean, we were going to find them and then shout at them. But
to meet upon each other without planning a meeting spot in Epcot is very impressive.
We met them right in front of the bird garden. And I have a fun fact for everyone here that I learned from the bird garden.
Oh, do tell.
Fun fact, everyone listening. Do you know that the bluebird isn't actually blue? No.
Oh, wait, really? Yeah. How is that possible?
It's the same optical illusion that makes the sky blue.
And the ocean,
or the
perhaps?
Ocean also blue. It's where it absorbs every other color but blue, and as a result, it appears blue.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, right?
You don't say.
Yeah, fun facts.
Wow, tell your friends, everybody. Shout this to the streets.
Blue birds. I'm still learning in Epcot, and I could have been learning more if I was able to get on Ellen's Energy Adventure.
What did you learn from Cosmic Rewind, Clayton? That
I learned
makes you
that
sick.
I'm an old man.
you're officially too old for fun.
I'm officially too old for fun. I've started drinking Negronis.
You're drinking bitter drinks.
I drink
and
bitter
you're too
drinks,
old for fun.
And I'm too old for fun. Now, where's Alan's Energy Adventure?
Oh, man. Yeah, this was your running joke the entire time. I was saying, man, I really miss Alan's Energy Adventure.
And it's not a joke. I really actually do miss
it. Yeah, you do actually generally genuinely miss it.
We happened upon them. They gave us a tremendous gift.
Oh, my gosh.
So
yes.
So there's a new pin themed from Wish that's...
the movie, not the new cruise ship.
Yeah, and it's called Keep a Wish, Give a Wish. So it comes with two of the star wishes, wish stars, wishing stars.
The star.
The star.
The star character from
Wish. It's like you can tear off and give it to someone else.
They keep one and they can give one to a friend.
So it's going to go on our pin board.
I mean, this
need
one
to
needs to go
in.
Straight on display, like on a pedestal, I think.
We have a lot of things that we have to pin. There's a lot of things, but that was very kind and very sweet.
I was like, what? You didn't have to get us something.
We hooked them up later on the trip.
Well, then they hooked us up even more later
on
also.
True. That was like the least
we
could do.
In many
ways. Yeah, least we could do.
But I love that because they have the other star on one coast and we brought the other star back on our coast. Aww.
One of the things that we're all four very socially awkward individuals. So one of the things that made that even more awkward was we were like telling each other, oh, look, we're with celebrities. And they're like, no, we're with celebrities. And we're like, no,
you're the real celebrities.
And they're like, ah, stop it.
So if you did not know, Pirates of the Polynesian, we've mentioned they have an Instagram account under the same name, but they also have a YouTube channel and they do vlogs of their own in the parks and even some outside of the parks around Florida because they do live there. So I've seen their faces many times on YouTube. I get to see them interacting all the time. So I'm like, nuh-uh, you guys are the celebrities, not us. What are you talking about?
So that was a lot of fun to hang out with them. We hung out with them for several hours that day.
Yeah, quite a while, actually.
We went to go do Three Caballeros, which
always
is Three
a good
Caballeros.
Time.
Surprising that ride hasn't been rethemed yet to probably Coco.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about in line with them.
We went to Living with the Land, which had a 2-minute wait, essentially, not even a 5-minute wait.
Literally walk on wait 0 minutes for it.
I said to Greg, who's a Disney World cast member, they're both cast members. Corey is at Gideon's. Greg is at various resorts currently. He's moving around, jumping around resort to resort. But I said, don't you want to work on this ride? And as I'm like saying that, in the very back far end of the line, with there's no line.
At the end of the switchbacks. There's just
a cast member. It looks like he's passed out sleeping along, up against the wall.
Because nobody has to go over there.
Yeah, because Living the Land.
Doesn't that look fun?
Yeah, doesn't that look fun? What are you doing? Go to Living with the Land, people.
Take a nice wall nap.
Fun. One of the fun things about Living with the Land is we did the tour behind the seeds.
Behind the seeds, yes.
And we were...
I love a good pun.
And we were like, fun fact, you know, that's a pepper tree. And like, fun fact, because we've been through about all the behind... And we know all the behind the scenes.
It's also... This is what Greg does all the time to Corey. He's a big fan of fun facts. So this was the thing we all kept doing back and forth. Was like, fun fact.
Fun fact.
Did you know? Fun fact.
A lot of fun facts were said over the course of these couple days.
Yeah, this is what we live for. Fun facts.
Fun fact. We did Spaceship Earth.
One thing about Living with the Land that they added in different parts of the greenhouse.
They had
they had little scenes to match scenes. Different Disney movies. It was really cute. Cool.
Yeah.
Like Alice in Wonderland, they had the book sitting there and it looked like there was a little tea party set up. Yeah. And Winnie the Pooh. It was just really cute. I loved it.
Always
a winner. One of the best. The best. I know people say Cosmic Rewind, best ride in Disney World. Four words for you and another Spaceship two words.
Earth. Oh.
I was going to get there.
Spaceship.
Living with the Land.
Spaceship Earth is.
And Spaceship
Earth. Two words, three if you hyphenate it.
It's not hyphenated though. Fun fact.
I know, but I'm saying Spaceship Earth is the best ride.
I said four words and.
Yeah, but you led with Living with the Land first.
Okay, well, top two rides.
Okay. Spaceship Earth is the best ride in Epcot. Don't let anyone tell you anything else.
Followed closely by Living with the
Land. Did you ever know that the ABCs, which I had a funny joke that I said to Emily. Well, I thought it was funny because, you ever wonder how it's so easy to communicate? Well, that's because the ABCs, and you got to thank the Phoenicians.
They invented them.
They invented them. And I was like, what do you think they were doing? Like A is for apple. B is for boy. Do you think they were singing the alphabet song?
No.
A is for apple.
I don't think so.
A fun fact about the Spaceship Earth, they take your picture, and it seems like that technology is getting a little bit worse with each passing year.
It ages like fine wine.
Well, it does.
Mainly for comedy reasons.
For comedy. So Corey's...
Yeah, so then we did decide to go on Spaceship Earth.
And this happened to Emily in another one that we did on Spaceship Earth. Like
I was wearing my mini ears and like, the camera didn't register. It messed with the camera because it didn't know what to do with it since I had ears on my face.
So her hair was just a bunch of dots, like random like dot blocks. I think we have a picture of it somewhere. So Spaceship Earth, it's the best.
It is the best.
It also leaves you with a laugh when we're talking about your future. We never fail to laugh.
Welcome to your future.
Welcome to your future.
It's hilarious.
We never fail to laugh with the Welcome to Your Future. I hope they never get rid of Welcome to Your Future.
Please don't get rid of it. You know they will. It's going to happen. And I'm not ready. I never want them to change it, though. It's the best part.
It's
not the best part of the ride.
It's not the best part, but it's so much fun.
The detail is the best part of the ride.
You know what one of the best parts of the ride is? Emily? Read all about it.
Extra, read all about it.
We almost got stuck by that faceless monster back there. And of course, when we slowed down, we immediately turned to look at our cart mates, the Pirates of the Polynesian in the back, and we're like, oh no. Extra, read all about it. That's my nightmare is being stuck by him.
Yeah. Because you do stop a lot on Spaceship Earth, so it's a high probability it'll happen to you.
Of course, right before that, we said hello to our buddy. Who's the guy? Who's the Greek guy?
Greek.
Yeah, who are they? Aristotle?
Greek prophet.
Yeah. Prophet?
No.
Scholar. And
I'm sorry.
And I got that so burned in my memory, and I could like recite it like right before he says anything. All is Moniece, mathematics. All is Moniece.
But speaking of messed up photos.
Yeah, it's just great. Don't get rid of Welcome to Your Future.
We saw what Corey and Greg's photo looked like. It was terrifying.
Yeah, it looked like a horror movie kind of thing.
There was like no face.
No face. We did.
I was just going to, since we're talking about Spaceship Earth, this is what amazes me. It's just the pure level of detail in this ride.
It's so good.
You know, it's when you go on Pirates or Haunted Mansion, the level of detail is unmatched. And it's just an old level of Imagineering. I'm not saying they still can't make amazing things, but it's outstanding how each and every scene is like just smack dab, so much detail put in every inch of it. They just don't make them like that anymore.
Okay. Speaking of a wonderfully themed attraction, we then went to go see Figment on his ride. And that's a great ride. It's a fantastic ride.
Even though you kept saying, how have they not updated this?
I lost it when I got all the Figments. I love Figment, and I lost it. I screamed with the big reveal that I got all my Figments.
It kind of shocks me every single time.
It does.
Because the cast members, they do tell you when you first get seated in the ride vehicle, take off those mini ears, take off those hats. Like, what could possibly happen in this Figment ride? It's shocking every single time to me we go on it when they blast you. It's like, whoa, that is violent.
So we got off this, and then it was time to get the group photo.
The other people in our party found that hilarious because you went, ah! That's the big scene of Grand Finale with all the Figments singing.
I forget it every time. So then we had to go get the group photo. And of course, with four socially awkward adults who had to rise to the occasion, Clayton did. And they got to see firsthand. Actually, they didn't get it. They didn't have to see the traditional Clayton move.
Wander around. Look desperate.
I took action and I saw this guy taking a picture of his wife and his daughter. And I walked right up to him and said, "Do you want me to take a picture with you?" And he's like, "Yeah." And then of course I said, "Well," after I took the picture, "do you mind taking a picture of us?
Hey, I scratch your back, you scratch mine."
And then that was where we said goodbye to the Pirates of the Polynesian for now.
Oh, really?
But the last thing we did today, besides eating and stuff, is we did the nighttime show Luminous.
Yeah, this was our first time seeing it. The previous show, Harmonious, sounds quite similar. ES, ending in ES.
We
never saw that one.
We were a bit confused because we walked into the World Showcase and we saw this huge barge thing. And we're like, didn't everyone complain about the barges? There's this huge barge thing.
The ones no for one's Harmonious, about this? The people called them taco barges.
Yeah, what is this bar? I don't understand it. Like, barge, because no one's complaining about this thing. And Greg was like, "Well, it is less intrusive than the old ones."
Which is
like, how?
Well, no, it is true. The other ones were extremely, extremely ugly. Not like these are pretty, but
yeah, I'm so curious.
I just had never heard anyone complain about it, so I was expecting there would be a clear view, and there wouldn't be permanent barges in the center.
Seems like the World Showcase Lagoon is primed, and I know they will never do this because they hate the World of Color Lagoon because it's such a pain to maintain that. They're primed to do that in World of Showcase Lagoon. That would be perfect, but it's probably too expensive. But yeah, we saw this. It was okay, in our opinion. If you like it, you know, it was just for us, it wasn't that good. It was okay.
I wouldn't say it wasn't that good. I just say I'm kind of indifferent on it. I didn't think it was a bad show. I also wasn't blown away. It seemed like, again, I hadn't seen Harmonious in person. I know a lot of people complained about it and did not like it. To me, from the videos I saw, this seemed like an upgrade in many respects. First off, you could watch the show from anywhere in World Showcase and have a great view. Harmonious, that was not the case. I really enjoy that it was very fireworks heavy. The original music for Luminous is beautiful. So really, my biggest complaints about this show. First off, too much reliance on just interweaving Disney IP.
With some generic
text. They tried to create a storyline, but rather than me genuinely feeling something, it more felt this show was trying to tell me how to feel.
Yeah.
It going to, hey, we all know
we're
loss.
All sad.
We all know loss, right? And then they played the two saddest songs trying to get you to cry. I'm like, well, I don't know. Trying to tell me how to feel isn't going to make me feel that. You need to just prove it in the show.
Yeah.
So to me, that didn't feel very genuine. That's how the whole show felt to me was, hey, you should feel this way. So now we're going to play some songs to make you feel that way rather than really trying to teach you something. Rather than doing full in on IP songs, I was like, I just mentioned, as a big fan of the original music within, and I wish they leaned more heavily into that because the finale, when they just had that music, that was the best part to me.
Yeah,
that was the closest I felt to feeling something and getting emotional. Where the rest of the show, when they're playing things like Remember Me and the saddest songs or other Disney songs, it doesn't really make me feel anything.
Yeah, I would agree.
So I'm a fan of fireworks anytime I get to see them. It was beautiful. I like that they have fountains, but it was just okay. I wouldn't say it was bad. I wouldn't say it was the best show I've ever seen. It's an okay show for Epcot. It is beautiful in moments, but I didn't walk away getting that Disney feeling like I did with Happily Ever After, where that's what I want. I want to feel wowed. I want to feel like I'm about to cry. Here's another good example. Last time we were in Epcot, we saw Epcot Forever. Now, I did not go to Epcot in the 80s when it first opened. There's a lot of Epcot I did not get to experience. Epcot Forever focused on all of those old rides that are now gone and some that are still here that I have a connection to. And they used all that original music created for these attractions. Me not having any ties to them except for doing like research and learning about the history of Epcot, that made me cry because it's beautiful music, beautiful original music at that, and they used audio from Walt, and it was honoring this beautiful park that we're all in. It's not just trying to remind you of all these Disney movies. So to me, that's a really big sign, considering I don't have nostalgia for Epcot, and a show like that can make me cry, but Luminous can't.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't really feel much with this show. So that was the end of day one. We had a fantastic time with Pirates of Polynesian. I feel like they might show up again, though, so we'll wait to talk about them a little bit more.
We'll explain more about that in a future trip recap episode, I believe.
We have more to say.
But really great getting to meet people that we've talked to for quite a while on Instagram and getting to see them in real life. That's just like a really special moment.
Yeah. So day two, also in Epcot, we a lot of the same stuff that we did in day one, Flower and Garden Festival. We did do the final version, or we did our final ride of this version of Cheshire Express, as it's going to go.
You missed a very important start of this day, Clayton.
No, that's right.
How could you forget this?
If you want to peek behind the curtain, as they say,
make it magical or mim in real life.
There's a huge argument every Wednesday morning. Huge argument. And you might be wondering, or that might seem like it. You're like, well, what would you argue about? And why do you argue about it every Wednesday morning? And that's who has to do the Instagram post for that week's episode. And Ellie plays the card whenever we're in the parks of, oh, I have to get ready. You want me to be ready for rope drop? I can't possibly do the episode post. And so I always have to do the post whenever it comes to
Parks Day. Yeah, in the park, because I'm getting ready. That's why I say Parks Day. It takes you 2 seconds to get ready. You like run your fingers through your hair.
I had to pay your taxes.
I'm done.
I think.
I'm ready to go. I'm like, this does not magically happen, Clayton. This may be a magical podcast, but, you know, makeup does not magically appear on your face.
And we've basically done the same joke for the other two episodes. This is part 3 of Club 33. And we've done the same joke 2 other times. How hard is it? It's very possible to write the same joke a third time, which is basically what I did, though.
And you still ask me, hey, what am I
Emily, why don't you do this? Please do this.
I'm busy. What do you want from me?
Just tell me what to write.
Do you want to be at the parks on time or not?
You can tell me what you want to write while you're doing your...
Or you're also busy.
While you're missing your eyeshadow primer.
Very important
step.
So
we went to Epcot. We kind of did the same thing. We did Remy first, as opposed, because that line can get very long.
Which it did.
Then we're going to go to the France Boulangerie to get a croissant thing. That was super busy, so we decided just to go get the old reliable Starbucks. We did have an argument. Well, not an argument. We had a discussion with Pirates of the Polynesian. Because whenever we go to Florida, I ask this question. I'm not a big fan of Starbucks. I'm also just not a big fan of Joffrey's. And I had a very lovely conversation with Greg about coffee, and he gets it. He was enabling it. I was really enabling myself.
I gave him the glare that I give you
all
the time.
I was enabling myself by using him as a reference. But I didn't even finish the question. He's like, oh, Joffrey's for sure. And I find it so...
It's just funny. We don't have Joffrey's.
We don't have a Joffrey's, really. We have one location, but otherwise...
It's like a small cart, though. You can easily miss it.
But also at the same time, I'm not the biggest fan of Joffrey's, but...
You mean Starbucks?
Or Starbucks. I'm not a biggest fan. I drink...
I'm not to fly my true colors. I have an espresso machine. We only drink espresso, and I get like single roaster or specialty roasters.
You're a coffee snob.
Specialty roasters flown in from all over the country. And so, yeah,
you just really like your coffee.
I like my coffee, and I like to explore a lot of different coffees and a lot of different roasters. So I'm always rotating through roasters.
But it's just funny for Disney fans, especially for people in Disney World.
It's always like sacrilegious.
It's always sacrilegious
to say that you don't like Joffrey's.
Well, yeah, I guess it is. Because always the debate. People are like, do you choose Starbucks or do you choose Joffrey's? And I ask you that. You're like, what? Why is this a thing? And I say, pretty much 9 times out of 10, most people say they will pick Joffrey's.
Speaking of, we didn't mention this. On our Mears shuttle to our hotel.
This just makes you sound judgy.
The two parties behind us, they were talking about it. And they're like, yeah, we got our Joffrey's flown in. And I was like, Evelyn was like,
I was elbowing you because I knew inside you're just like, oh, I don't like Joffrey's.
I was just like, I can name 10 different roasters you could go to.
Now, to me, the more accepting ghost host over here, coffee's coffee to me. If you give me a Starbucks or a Joffrey's, I'm good. I just need a coffee. So there.
I will not judge you for what you order. Beat this into you over your head with, okay, we're going to have to work on your education. Okay. So we, complained about.
It tastes better because it's in Disney, Clayton.
So after.
It's magic.
After.
Pixie dust infused.
After we.
Yum.
Did all this argument about the Instagram and got into the park. We did Remy. We did Test Track. This is going to be the last time we get a ride this version of Test Track.
Yes. It's closing in like June, I believe. They're doing Test Track 3.0.
Which is a little sad that this one's going away, but also at the same time. Thankfully, now they'll be able to fix it because half the screens are broken. The performance
screens
are broken.
True, there's a lot that's not functioning correctly.
Which I get that they're not going to put money in to fix it when they're going to close it down in 3 months anyways. But
they probably anticipated this for a while.
Yeah.
With Test Track, the reason they're basically reimagining it now, the what's the word I'm thinking of? Not contract.
Oh, sponsorship?
Sponsorship deal they had with them. It's ending. So they can foresee this. And now it's time to renew. So they're putting more.
They renewed, right? And they're getting more. So they get more money.
So now it's time they can refresh it, put more money into it. And Disney's basically getting sponsored for it. Free. I don't know. Disney might put a little money into it. I don't quite know.
Right.
But it's like, why not? Yeah. You might as well refresh it and do something new. And I think it's great timing. A lot of people's complaints. It has the same aesthetic as Tron. I agree with. Yeah. We now have a Tron in Magic Kingdom. Yeah. So it's time. And they say they're going to incorporate what was an extinct attraction that Test Track replaced, World of Motion, and try and incorporate elements of that into it. Big fan of respecting the history of the parks and making that to refresh it and make it brand new. So I'm excited to see what they do. But yes, we said our goodbyes, paid our respects to old Test Track, and gotten one final ride.
We did Guardians one more time today. We got Conga again, and we also got a sick Clayton. So then
yes,
he's
another sick Clayton.
Pretty much
with a worried Emily asking him many questions to
so
make
we
sure
we do not
he
do
was
an individual
okay.
Lightning Lane on this day because I said no, I don't want to be sick. we did the Butterfly Garden at the Flower and Garden Festival, which was very cool.
Yeah, I love this addition.
So is this new for this year or is this?
They've had it before. It's basically this big tented off area between the Imagination Pavilion with Figment and the lands. And yeah, they just have this whole tented off section. So it's really big area. Actually, I was surprised.
It's a pretty big area.
Beautiful gardens and all kinds of butterflies that just fly all around you for you to observe.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I loved it. I'm a fan of all these kinds of things. And of course, they incorporate some educational aspects to teach children and adults. You learn things from the Flower and Garden Festival.
Yeah.
So I love that. It's fun. It's a nice little walkthrough. You can just pop in whenever you want during the day.
I learned that I want to be a beautiful butterfly.
Just like Heimlich.
We, of course, had to go hang out with our friends of the sea. More like freshwater friends. The manatees.
Yes.
Emily, how long did you say you watched the manatees for this time?
I mean, time just...
I went to go sit down and do some stretching, and Emily was just watching...
Time does not exist in the aquarium section. of the Seas Pavilion. It just melts away and I lose track. So I have no clue.
How do they change the way that they feed them the lettuce?
So in the past, this is how much I love the manatees. I'm like, they're doing a new technique. They used to just throw heads of lettuce straight into the water. Now they have this little platform where there's a bit of water on it. Yeah. And it's almost level with the surface of the water. And one of the workers there will just pick off pieces of the lettuce heads and like gently place them. So it's really great for the viewing area because the manatees actually have to pick their heads up a little bit and like use their little snouts to try and yank it back in. It's really cute.
And I think there's another thing right in here, which is a bit interesting. I'm not really sure how you can say this, but why don't you go ahead and say it?
I mean, little known fact, the manatees probably don't know it. Yeah. Workers at Epcot don't know it yet. Uh-huh. Disney doesn't know it, but now you will know. It's a big secret.
Big
secret. And I'm revealing it.
Big, big secret.
You, the listeners, are finding out this important information first.
Big secret.
I, Emily, ghost host here, Make It Magical, am Little Joe and Lou's number one fan. If you do not know, those are the names of the two rescued manatees in the Seas Pavilion.
Can you tell which one? Can you tell which one apart?
I just forget.
Because I think Little Joe is the orphan and Lou is the one that was the bite boat strike.
Damaged.
Yeah. He's got the damaged fin because he was the boat strike. Yeah.
Oh, they're amazing. Beautiful, beautiful creatures. They're so cool. You're always ready to leave. I'm like, I could sit here literally all day. You have to pry me away from that exhibit.
Since we were on that side of the park.
They were flipping all around like last time. They looked so happy. They're so cute.
They are.
I love them. They're a number one attraction at Epcot.
I mean, if you're not going to see the manatees, what are you doing with yourself?
Ugh, they're so cute.
Since we were on that side of the park, we tried and experienced Moana Journey of Water for the first time.
We did. This is also a walkthrough attraction.
And I missed a sign and I walked to one of the second sign.
It's like Clayton.
Emily shouted at me, Clayton, you're skipping things. I'm like, no, I couldn't see the sign. There's a billion people
Clayton,
in this thing.
Slow down and enjoy the details.
I'm like, there's a billion people Read in this area all. Right now. And I missed one sign.
You're running through this. Slow down.
But I did get I got a compliment as we were going into the ride. It was a cast member. Journey of Water cast member was like, nice X-Men shirt. So I was wearing an X-Men shirt.
I was too busy learning about the water cycle from Moana, Clayton.
Wow, that's a great shirt. I'm like, thank you, sir.
Clayton.
Yeah. So this was a good... I like that this was like interactive and also teaching.
I enjoyed it.
I thought it was fun.
It's representing, bringing back the foundations of old Epcot. It's edutainment in its finest form. Kids are having a blast. I'm not a kid, but I loved it. It's super fun. And for Epcot, for being in Florida, using water as an attraction to teach you something and to play with, really great. Because it is hot. So walking through that felt quite nice during the day. I love the rock work.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. I think they did a great job.
A lot of kids were enjoying playing with the water, so I think they did a good job.
People were walking out, smiling, laughing, so that's always a good sign. Plus, I am an advocate for always bringing in more walkthrough attractions into the U.S. parks.
Fair point. Those are
kind of my favorite things to do, where it's not, oh, there's a 40-minute wait for this thing. Let's try and do it later. Oh, this is an hour. I don't really want to do that right now. Let's come back. Where these, you can just come and go as you please. You might have to wait a little bit to get to the stations, but it's not like you're just standing in a line and not moving.
Yeah. So after this, we pretty much decided, hey, let's go get another margarita. Which might have been a mistake because I guess that's also Emily, but this mostly impacted me. We're having trouble sleeping. So I was a bit tired. Didn't have the best night's sleep with the elevator roaring. And the night that we were there, they were doing like a power outage at the hotel. And the alarm went off and the smoke detector alarm went off at like 2 a.m. And it was like, ugh. Like, should I actually get up and see if that's a real alarm? Nah, it's probably just the power outage. I went back to sleep. Thankfully, we woke up again in the morning. But
key thing here, same elements affected both of us.
Yeah. So I have a couple years on you. Outcomes were different, though. So we had our margarita and then we walked through down to Germany, looked at the $80,000 crystal ball, one of 250.
And I said, I found my souvenir.
Yeah.
Imagine that in our podcast recording studio. Look, imagine how beautiful that
would
look. Yeah,
I mean, it would look beautiful, but some things and are
we
just...
We probably want to have a place to live.
Some things are better dreams. So after we had finished our margaritaville, we said, hey, guess what time it is? Starts with a C. C squared.
And how do you pronounce that first word?
Caramel.
No, you just said it a different way.
Caramel.
No.
Caramel.
Don't make it up just because I'm asking you now.
Caramel.
You say caramel corn the correct
caramel.
Way.
Caramel.
The way caramel should be
caramel.
Said. No.
Caramel.
Clayton, come on now. How do you
I
say caramel corn?
I honestly didn't even say it. Caramel corn.
There you go. When you don't think about it, that's what you say the correct way.
And I was.
Except it's okay if you say I can't even say it right because it feels so unnatural to me. Caramel corn.
We're walking through.
The world. Oh wait, no, caramel. Oh my gosh, caramel corn. Wrong with you.
We're walking through the parks, and I'm opening the bag, going, oh, closing the bag, open the bag, oh, closing the bag, like doing the angel thing. So then we walked over to America, and you know we like to. Eat some caramel corn when we're in the America Pavilion doing certain America things.
What's more American than
eating popcorn, watching a show
covered in sugar?
So we watched the American Adventure.
I mean, it is the Epcot way. We're enjoying something from a different country.
Yeah. And we watched the American Adventure, or should I say
Clayton?
Mostly Emily watched the American Adventure.
Clayton watched it through his shut eyelids.
So I made it to Two Brothers.
No, you fell asleep before
No, I did not fall asleep before
Two
Brothers.
Yeah, because I took pictures of you before the show started.
No.
Yeah, I didn't take a picture during the show. You think I do that? Nuh-uh. I took the picture of you snoozing away and snoring before the show started.
It was after the show.
No.
I made it to Two Brothers. I made it to Two Brothers.
You fell asleep and then quietly woke up and fell back asleep. Yes.
I made it to Two Brothers. Nuh-uh. You're missing
Nuh-uh,
words.
Sir.
No. No. I made it to Two Brothers.
No, I'm sure I clapped at the end of it, so that would have woken you up.
I made it to Two Brothers. I know I made it to Two Brothers.
Immediately fell back asleep. You popped up, Two Brothers.
Okay, well, I fell asleep.
Can you say the line? Two brothers on their way.
I fell asleep.
Two brothers on their way.
I fell
asleep. One wore blue and one wore gray.
So Emily has a couple pictures of me. I'm asleep. Sitting.
Cannonball, don't pay no mind.
I fell asleep. We'll probably tell another falling asleep story later. Later in the recap, not this episode, but probably next episode. So I fell asleep, and then I was like, "Hey,
so
Emily,
embarrassing,
Emily, could we go back to the room? We're so close back to the room. Can we go back to the room and have a break?"
I made sure to text these sleeping pictures to my parents because the running joke. My dad, whenever he's in a Disney park, he is sure to find a spot to fall asleep in public. So he's hey, Dad, looks like Clayton's taken you passed the baton on to him.
Yeah.
He's now taken over your role of falling asleep in public.
So we, I fell asleep. Okay, I'm 30. I had a margarita, didn't sleep.
It's just some people just can't handle Epcot, Clayton. It's okay.
Okay. So we went back to the room, and I was like, can I please take a nap? So we went back to the room. And I took a nap. And I don't think Emily fell asleep because she was just sitting there looking at me,
stewing. Just
saying,
looking at the clock.
I only have 3 hours of Epcot time left. What is going on? Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. And I was sleeping in my nap. Now, we might not have had to leave the park. I probably could have taken a nap in the park if Epcot didn't get rid of Ellen's Energy Adventure. It would have been perfect for
the
this
perfect
nap.
Napping time. 45 minutes.
I could have taken a nap in the dark, cool Epcot. What are you doing to me? Ellen's Energy Adventure.
Instead, you put in a ride that makes Clayton sick.
Oh yeah. Couldn't. A ride you have to wait hours for to have be done in 3 minutes.
Hours. That's not even possible, Clayton.
Well, virtual queue, you're waiting for hours, but whatever. So after I took a nap,
unreasonable complaint.
After I took a nap and we went back to the park, we did some light finger foods. Then we.
But it was funny because I literally was doing that while we were sitting in the room. I was counting down the minutes. OK, now if I wake Clayton up in 30 minutes, that means I still have 3 hours and 30 minutes left of Epcot time. OK, now if I wait this long, that means I only. And then you woke up and you guessed that's what I was thinking.
So we went back. We had some finger foods. We did Spaceship Earth for the last time. M got a jacked up picture, like dots on her face, just dot face.
New horror movie character.
We then stayed on that side of the park for the Spaceship Earth light show. And this, let me tell you what, is a fantastic moment. It's like it's like the better night show. And it's like just happens randomly, right?
Every
15, 10 minutes, something like that. But it's like, it's so much fun to see the lights on the ball.
Yeah, on the giant golf ball.
On the giant golf ball. So we saw What Else Can I Do?
So they synchronized the music to the lights on Spaceship Earth. And this song was specific for the festival.
What Else Can I Do?
I love things in theme.
And we also saw Colors of the Wind. We had moved over to the World Celebration Gardens by that time to get to check on Walt some more. And we saw Colors of the Wind, and we saw that like even the flooring lights sync up with the show, which is a big addition. Yeah, so going back,
that area is just, it's even more spectacular at night. So I highly recommend you check it out during the day and at nighttime. Two very different experiences. Both Colors of the Wind, I cried. And it was just an instrumental version.
Yeah.
So it's, this is me again comparing. Luminous didn't make me cry, but just watching Colors of the Wind synced up to the beautiful lights on Spaceship Earth, that got me emotional because they're not trying to tell me how to feel. It's just something that's breathtaking and it's a beautiful, quiet moment. Sometimes it's the simpler things that can have a lot more meaning.
I agree. And that's pretty much it. We did one more walk through World Showcase just to kind of experience the vibe of Epcot night. And then we went back to our room and we were going to watch the fireworks. But then we got attacked viciously by a dragonfly. We weren't attacked. It was fine. We closed our slider so it couldn't get into our room. And we watched the fireworks.
And he was still out there in the morning.
Yeah, we at least watched the fireworks for the nighttime show from our balcony, which is, again, something that we had a view of. So, yeah, these were our Epcot days. We really liked Flower Garden Festival. It was a lot of fun.
I just kept saying all around the park, this is the greatest thing ever. I've always dreamed of seeing this.
All the topiaries were amazing. We learned a fun fact about topiaries, actually. Do you know what fun fact I'm referring to? So, Walt, do you know now?
Go ahead.
Okay, so
that's right. I found the fun fact.
Let me see if I remember this. So, this was in the back area of the British Pavilion. UK Pavilion, excuse me. And, so there's like this back hedge area, and they had a couple like not as elaborate topiaries, but like normal kind of topiaries. I think
they're there permanently.
Yeah. And they had a sign that said Walt had gone to
Bill Evans.
Well, he had gone to some park somewhere else, and he had seen a bunch of topiaries and had said, man, these are great. And he came back and he wanted to bring them to the States. Into the parks. So he went to
It's probably Tivoli Gardens.
So he went to his garden guy, Bill Evans, who got mentioned probably several times when we did Building Disneyland, and said, Bill, I want you to make me some topiaries. And Bill said, Walt, this will take 20 years to do probably the same way. And Walt said, sure, buddy. I'm sure you can do it in a couple. And he walked away probably. I'm sure he said, yeah, but I want it in like two. And Bill
was like, we'll figure it out.
Bill's like, okay, I guess I'll just figure this out now. And my fun fact while we're talking about this is like, Walt would have just said, Bill, you basically put all the foliage and vegetation in Disneyland. You could do anything. You can make a topiary in 2 years.
No biggie.
No big. So they came out with a way to make topiaries in 2 years, pretty much. And all the topiaries around the park were pretty, pretty fantastic.
They're amazing.
The Figment one, the Louisa one.
Just the Encanto one?
Yeah, the Encanto one itself.
I mean, I would say Isabella's the exciting one because she's covered in succulents.
Oh, sorry. I meant Isabella, not Lisa.
Get your character straight, man.
Sorry. Why is there no Kanga or Rue topiary?
Kanga?
Okay, why is there no...
I was like, one in front of Cosmic Rewind of Gloria Estefan?
Why is there no Kanga or Rue topiary in the UK Pavilion?
I don't have a response to that. That's why I'm silent.
But all the topiaries, all the food, we had a fantastic time doing the... It's definitely worth a visit if you've never been.
I want to go back.
Shocker.
I know I said I just want to see it once, but I want to see it again.
Shocker.
It's so... Epcot is already a beautiful park.
Don't we have to go to the arts? When a festival
isn't happening. But with all the flowers and the topiaries, they have tons of different mini gardens all throughout the park. It just enhances everything overall. It's so colorful.
What about Festival of the Holidays or Festival of the Arts?
Yeah, I'd like to see those too.
Well, no repeats.
Let's just move near our friends, Pirates of the Polynesian. Problem solved.
Yeah, problem solved.
And then I'll become a tour guide. I think maybe what we can do, since we're running long, maybe we'll do a bonus episode on Patreon and talk more about Flower and Garden Festival in depth. What do you say?
Sure. We can do the history of the festival. Talk all about it.
Yes. And more in detail and all the topiaries we saw.
This but is just a recap.
Quick episode. Question. Do you have a favorite topiary? We already know. Figment. Did you have a different food favorite?
Than the beignet?
Yeah. That's my favorite. I don't know if that's your favorite. Mine's followed second by Frushi.
I mean, the beignet was probably the best thing that we ate, but I did enjoy the... I mean, I can make the beef tenderloin. It was just a good meal to have after you've been walking around Epcot. I would say probably the beignet was the best thing we ate.
Oh, okay. Wow, we're on the same page. And then your favorite topiary is Figment?
Figment, yeah.
I think mine... Not I think. I know my favorite one was Belle and the Beast in the France Pavilion. Because also right next to them are Lumiere and Cogsworth. And Lumiere, his little flames light up. And Cogsworth, his little TikTok-y thing.
The clock?
His pendulum thingy. It goes back and forth all day long.
I'm a clock.
Ugh. It's so good. I mean, I'm biased. Beauty and the Beast is my favorite, but it's such a beautiful one. That's one of the topiaries we got a picture with.
Yeah, it is.
It's just all impressive. I can't recommend the festival enough. It's also, if you go earlier in the festival, really beautiful weather for Florida.
Yeah.
If you're waiting till closer to the end of it, it's going to start getting quite a bit hotter. But overall, a great time of year to visit Epcot specifically. So two thumbs up for me. I'd give it more if I can. I can't speak more highly of it. For me, as a plant nerd, it was a dream. Combine the two together. It's basically like spread Living with the Land out all over Epcot, and you got me.
I guess that is a valid
my heart.
Okay. So, yeah, this one went a bit long. Sorry.
Just a bit.
This is only 2 days. We have a lot to talk about with the cruise also, which was a 7-day Eastern Caribbean on the Disney Fantasy. It was a 7-day Eastern Caribbean itinerary on the Disney Fantasy. This is now the third time we've been on the Disney Fantasy. It's essentially our home ship.
Yeah.
So we had a fantastic time on the cruise. We have a lot to talk about there.
We do.
So we want to try to get through at least all of this. This was just 2 days. So you can imagine what we managed to get ourselves into in 7 days on the cruise ship.
Yes. Spoiler alert.
A lot of trivia.
Yes. A lot of trivia. A lot of medals that were won.
A lot of medals.
A great time.
We had a fantastic time.
Yes.
And then the time didn't stop after we got on the cruise ship, but that's a story for a later episode.
Yes. So I think we have two more episodes probably that we'll cover. We're going to try our best to fit it all into those. So maybe these will be longer episodes, but I've heard from listeners, they like trip recaps. So they don't mind if they go long and they want to hear everything that we get into. They're living
vicariously.
Yes. So apologies if you don't like it, but hey, we're making magical. We like to drag things out. So I think you can expect this from us.
I think we won't do any plugs this week because we've gone long. We do have some exciting things coming to the show. Mm-hmm. Of course, after we're done with this, we might be a couple weeks away from the start of something very...
Ghoulish.
Do you know where I'm going with this?
Are we not being more obvious? Are we not being obvious enough?
Are you... I got nothing.
That's how you're going to end it?
Is this room actually stretching?
No, you can't use the same thing.
Tale of a rat.
Tale of... Did you just say tale? Tail or rat?
I'm inviting you to a swinging wake.
Hey, that's much better. Stick with that one.
But yeah, we'll cut it here. It's gonna be a long one, but we'll have two episodes on the cruise and kind of some other stuff. And we were thinking maybe of doing some, you know, if you're like cruise preparation episodes to kind of get you, if you want to do a cruise, because we know it can be a bit daunting, kind of the whole process of booking, getting there, doing all that,
what to expect,
being on the cruise ship, what to expect, kind of what it looks like, what it is, because we didn't know anything when we first did it.
We basically jumped in blind.
Right. And we did a 7-day cruise, which some people are like, maybe don't do that because you don't know if you're going to like it. Well, we love it.
And we just rolled the dice and did a big gamble.
Shockingly, we love it. So we'll maybe try to plan to do some of that too. Because, we did the cruise last year, the four-nighter. And that was a shorter one, but it was still a fantastic event. But this one, even though it was just a few days longer, the seven-nighter, we had such a fantastic time.
We always have a great time.
Yeah, this one was really special.
Even with the parks, I really do like combining, especially if you're going to Disney World. It's really fun to do, like, double it up if you can.
Yeah.
And that's not always doable, but we really enjoy that, doing the parks a little bit and then doing the more relaxing portion on the cruise.
Yeah. So we have plenty to talk about, though. So we'll get to that next week. And then we have some exciting stuff coming to the Patreon side of things. And there's still that Patreon giveaway, which details to be provided. So if you're looking to get in on that, there's still time to join and be included.
Very true.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for all that, all support.
Thank you for spending several hours with us.
Literally. we'll pick it up next week. Thank you. And Emily, I think you can kick us out.
Remember to be kind to each other and
let's make it magical.
We call it Epcot.
We call it Epcot.
Bye, everybody.
Spelled E-P-C-O-T, which stands for?
Epcot.
Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow.
And that is Epcot.
Okay, fine.
Sounds psychotic. I got more excited each time we said it.
Yeah.
Epcot. We call it Epcot. There we go.
You want to do it one more time?
Why are you asking if I want to keep doing it?
I don't know. It seems like you're enjoying yourself over there.
We call it Epcot.
If Emily finds something even remotely funny, she will beat that thing into the ground.
The rule of thumb is it gets funnier each time you say it. Clearly. I've learned that from my dad very early
there
on.
There was something that became a cruise ship joke that one of the cruise staff entertainment team does.
And they found it funnier each time we did it. So here we go.
He was even like, I don't do it all the time, but if you're doing it, I'm doing it too. And then but we'll talk about that next week.
So there you go.
But if Emily finds anything even remotely funny.
Even if it seems like people are getting annoyed, if you find it funny, just keep doing it. And I promise find it funnier.
I'm sure people will find it funny.
We call it Epcot.
Or they might just be absolutely infuriated. But enough about that.
But they're
goodbye.
Not the real, they're not your real friends. The ones who keep stick with you and laugh, they're the ones you want to keep around. All right. Let me tell you.
Goodbye.
Bye, my Epcotians. Oh my Epcotians.